This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you. We've got lots of baseball coming up, and we need to get you all set for the upcoming foosball season, as I'm going to be doing Greg's Random NFL Roulette. This is where I pick a team by random, and I don't know what team I'm going to be picking until we actually pick them, and we're going to be breaking them down. It is night number 8 of 16 of this absolutely tremendous extravaganza. We've had the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we will see if it gets any better or if it gets any worse or if we hit some whammies. So we are going to have a great time there breaking down this upcoming NFL season, and a valuable time to mention that if you have yet to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription, you want to get in on our NFL betting guide, team previews, win totals, and everything else for all 32 NFL teams. Everyone here at the network did an amazing job on it. So have to give the credit where it is due. Also have to give credit where it is due to the team behind the scenes here at VSiN. They're the reason why you hear and see all these tremendous shows, and they are indeed the best team in the business. You've got my producer, Jared, who he came up with the great line for Clayton Kershaw that he's like his favorite pair of jeans, very, very washed, and I think that was pretty accurate of Clayton Kershaw. He does a great job keeping me on the straight and narrow. Do appreciate him and all that he does for setting up a tremendous show. And then Garrett, he's one of our newest additions here at VSiN. He does a tremendous job of making sure that here on site, everything is staying clean, orderly, and I am staying on task. And that is not an easy task. And yet, Garrett, he's doing an amazing job. If you're listening on VSiN.com, if you're listening after the fact as well, in terms of podcast form, as every single hour of every single show here at VSiN, it is available in podcast form, VSiN.com/podcast, or wherever your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, search for the VSiN Bets Bets app, VSiN Bets Bets feed. Chris, he does an absolutely tremendous job making sure that everything is crisp and clean, so do appreciate him. And then this might be the most important and the most difficult task here at VSiN, making me look halfway presentable in a video/moving picture format. That is not an easy task, but Alexis doing an absolutely tremendous job, and all the odds that you see on the screen, reason why they're so up to date and they're all looking good, that is because of Alexis. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They do such incredible work, and because they're doing such incredible work, I need to be on point with everything that I'm doing as well. And the Lakers are looking to get on point, as they had a big signing here tonight with DeAndre Ayton coming to town. And I do think that this is really interesting out there in a Western Conference that it's just brutal. And if you're any team not named the OKC Thunder, you're really going to be up against it. But I'm liking what the Lakers have right now. Am I thinking that they're going to be able to make the finals? I don't think so. But I mean, you've got perhaps the best like third wheel in the NBA in Austin Reeves to go along with LeBron James, Luka Doncic. Obviously, they've got themselves some nice three-point shooting with drafting Dalton Connect last season, and I think that he's a guy that is really going to be able to take off for this team moving forward. You now have a little bit of something down low. Now you could use a bit of depth, because right now the understudies are guys like Jared Vanderbilt, Maxi Kleber, so need a little bit more of something there. But I think that a lot of people think that DeAndre Ayton is like wash or something like that. For one, he's 26 years old. Now, he's got the Greg Oden sort of thing where he looks so much older than what he is. Sorry to DeAndre Ayton, but he does not look like a normal 26-year-old. But, I mean, this guy still was able to put up a double-double this past season. Now, I know that a lot of people could say that those are like empty calorie stat numbers and everything like that. And you point out the fact that DeAndre Ayton in this day and age is not necessarily a guy that's popping in and locking him from three-point range. He tried to shoot some threes this year, and he shot 18% from three. That's not great, to say the least, but for DeAndre Ayton, do you think that he's going to be able to lend a little bit of value? Now, has dealt with some injury concerns over the last few seasons, but still, with regards to DeAndre Ayton, him versus Mark Williams, what player would you want right now on your team? Because that's a guy that the Lakers were trying to get with Williams. He was having himself a really nice year with the Hornets, and now, ironically enough, he's over with the Phoenix Suns. I personally would still go with DeAndre Ayton. I do think that his upside is great. Now, he's going to need to stay healthy this year, unlike in past years, but I mean, this guy's been consistently giving you a double-double. As a matter of fact, every single year that he's been in the NBA has been able to give you a double-double. double. I'd like to see him maybe block a few more shots, but I do think that he adds some good value to the Lakers, and we'll see what sort of value this adds as well, because in terms of the odds board, it added no value whatsoever that the Knicks finally landed on coach Mike Brown. He heads on over there after it felt like there was just strikeout upon strikeout upon strikeout for the New York Knicks. And when you fire a coach, typically you have a plan in place. It's very clear that if the Knicks had a plan in place, it fell through and it looked like they had no idea what they were doing. But they do land Mike Brown as their coach, and I think it's a solid hire. Like, is Mike Brown going to be able to take this team to the promised land and be able to score you that plus 850 that you have right now on them to be able to win the title? I do not think so. But is he going to be able to do a solid job with this roster? I'm not going to say maximize it, because I don't know if he's going to be the coach that necessarily gets the absolute most out of these guys. Like, would I take someone like a Daigneault or something like that over him? Yes. But is Mike Brown a upper half of the NBA coach? I do think so as well. Like, we saw what he was able to do most recently with the Sacramento Kings, and I felt like he was a little bit of a scapegoat over there. And he's another one of those guys that when he goes in, right away he's able to make a bit of a difference. He is used to dealing with big time egos, with dealing with LeBron James for so long, and dealing with just the various teams that he has, the LA Lakers tenure. We all remember that. So, I mean, he's been in big time spots before, and he's been in the spotlight. So I do think that this is a relatively solid hire, and I do think that Mike Brown is going to be able to do a solid job with his team. Again, do I put the New York Knicks on the same level as the Cleveland Cavaliers? No. At plus 290, do I think that they have value to win the East? No. But at the same time, I do think that they made a okay hire here, and I do think that they did a pretty solid job given the circumstances, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And as we know, it is the dog days of summer. There's not a whole heck of a lot to be able to bet on right now, but if you're looking for some great action, you want to head on over to First Bet, because they're letting you in on being able to bet the ponies and being able to bet horse racing. It's a lot of fun this time of year. You're able to sign up now over at firstbet.com. That's the number one, scbet.com, and utilize the promo code of VSIN200, VSIN200. You get access to hundreds of horse races every single day from the convenience of your phone/computer over at First Bet. And with a promo code of VSIN200, that scores you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today over at First Bet, the number one, stbet.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and not a whole lot to be able to bet on in the summer months other than really the WNBA and Major League Baseball. I will say, hot dog eating contests are out there on the board as well, and shock, shock, surprise, surprise, the man that is the favorite to be able to win the hot dog eating contest this year on the men's side of things is Joey Chestnut. Not a lot of value in terms of minus 1,800, and fortunately, in Major League Baseball, you're not going to have to lay minus 1,800 on any sort of a money line. So, how about if we take a look at some of these games that we've got on this Baseball Thursday? I do think that this is a very interesting one, and one where I'm going to be willing to bet the dog, as this is 9:15, 9:16 on the card. The Atlanta Braves are playing us to the LA Angels. Jose Soriano is on the bump for the Halos, and Bryce Elder hopes to not look elderly for the Braves. And for the Braves, right around minus 130 to minus 135 favorites, between plus 114 to plus 122. That number on the Halos, and the total is 9. Have to wonder if there's some residuals on what we saw on the Atlanta Braves the last few days. Because for one, Didier Fuentes got the start for the Atlanta Braves, and Didier Fuentes was not good. He did not lend any sort of length whatsoever, so the Atlanta Braves did have to pull out all the stops in the bullpen to be able to get the job done against the LA Angels, and they were able to do so by a count of 8-3 to their credit. But with Fuentes going only 3 2/3 innings, that means that they had to throw out there the Dodd father, Dylan Dodd, Aaron Bummer, Desbel Hernandez, who just came off the injury list, and all three of these guys currently have a sub-3 ERA. Three of their most trustworthy pieces had to come out of the bullpen, so that's a bit of an issue. And Bryce Elder has not been good. 4 runs or more allowed in each out of his last 3 starts. Is he doing for a little bit of positivity? I do think so, mainly because it can't get a whole heck of a lot worse, especially that start against the Philadelphia Phillies, where he gave up a nice hearty 9 spot in terms of his earned runs. And for Bryce Elder, I still don't know what happened during that 2023 season. Like, he found just some sort of a luck box or something like that to be able to have a nice first half of the season, and ever since then, things have toilet bowled for him from there. And Jose Soriano has been really good on the road road this year. He has pitched 55 innings on the road. Guess how many home runs he's given up? As many as me. And I don't pitch in the big leagues. Zero. Zip nada. He has been giving you a sub-3 ERA. Has been rock solid there. Now, if you look at the overall ERA, if this is home and road, 399 ERA, closer to 332 fielding independent. Not necessarily a strikeout artist. He's getting fewer than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but faces off against an Atlanta Braves team that is in the bottom 8 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. You've been able to get quite a bit of production out of Ronald Acuna Jr. He's giving you north of 450 on base. He's been able to give you 9 home runs in a little bit north of a month since coming off the injury list, but you still have some gaping holes in this roster. Like, I mean, Ozzy Albies, Michael Harris, both hitting below a 240 with not a ton of power is rough, and Michael Harris is below a 260 on base. Like, man, I remember when that guy was a rookie, he was the bee's knees, and now he's going to the outhouse from the penthouse. So that's not been great. And for the LA Angels, all or nothing lineup. They are in the bottom 4 in the big leagues in terms of their on-base percentage, but they're also a top 3 team in terms of home runs on a per-at-bat basis. Look no further than Taylor Ward, about a 290 on-base and 20 home runs. Logan Ohapi, less than a 270 on-base, 17 home runs. Joe Adell has actually been really hot for this team. He's been able to give you 17-plus bombs. He's now up north of a 315 on-base, but you do have a lot of hit-or-miss with this team, and for the LA Angels bullpen, that has not been great as well. You had Ryan Zephyrian come into the game on Wednesday, and he gave up 5 runs without getting a single out. That's not good. Hunter Strickland has been solid, but they had to use him for north of 2 innings, so these are 2 bullpens that are relatively spent. But I do think that for the Atlanta Braves, they are doing for a little bit of, shall we say, positivity for Bryce Elder, and I really like the way that Jose Soriano has rolled on the road, so this is one of those circumstances where I'm going to be willing to bet the under, because I do believe in Soriano in this ordeal. Also, for the Atlanta Braves, to add injury to insult, you've got a fractured elbow for Spencer Schwellenbach, so that's not great, and I do think that for the Angels, anything of a plus 112 or higher, which we're getting right now, is going to be a bet for me, so I like them on the money line, and I do like this total under as well, as I set my total at an 8.8, and coming up next, how about if we take a look at Brewers versus Mets right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we're holding it down by taking a look at some baseball. Not a bad slate on this Thursday. Not necessarily the most expansive, but when you get a day to getaway day and you're at a double-figure amount of games, I would consider that to be pretty solid. We've got 10 games in total on the board. We'll be breaking those down. And in 15 minutes, we have our new NFL betting guide out here at VSiN, and we're going to honor it by taking a look at some NFL teams. And I'm doing Greg's Random Football Roulette, where we're on night number 8. We are going to be previewing 2 teams tonight for the upcoming season. We're going to give you guys season wins. I'm going to be giving you guys a breakdown for them, and we're going to have some good, clean family fun with it. And those have become some cinema, by the way. I sometimes get a little bit animated. Sometimes we get a little bit juiced up. I'm sure that I've had some takes. I'm not going to call them good takes. I'm not going to call them hot takes. I'm going to call them takes. So that's what you can look forward to in about 15 minutes. But what you can look forward to right now is the Brew Crew looking to brew up a win. 901-902. Milwaukee and the Brewers are on the road against the New York Metropolitans, with it being David Peterson. Great name on the bump for the Mets. Jose Quintana's on the bump for the Brewers. And Brewers are about plus 135 on the money line as an underdog. In that neighborhood, about minus 150 is the number on the Metropolitans. Total is 8, shaded on up to the over. And I do like this total over. I was talking about it in the back half of last hour that I do fully expect some regression with the Brewers in terms of their offense at on the road, as they're right now averaging north of 5.6 runs per game away from home. Relatively neutral ballpark, 3.9 runs per game at home. There's just no way that that split is going to be long lasting. And if it does, it's just a random fluky outlier. But that said, for the Milwaukee Brewers, I do think that they should be able to get to Mr. Peterson in this spot. Again, great name move. He's just not been getting a lot of strikeouts. Now, he does a good job of being able to keep things out in front of him. He's inducing soft contact, getting about 0.7 home runs per 9 innings, but still, you'd like to see him be able to get a little bit more swing and miss and about 7.7 strikeouts per 9 innings. And for the Mets. They did utilize quite a bit of their bullpen in the double dip that we did see here on Wednesday, and that's part of the reason why I do like the over. Both of these teams had to dive in quite a bit, and with the Brewers, Rob Zinovsky, hopefully I said that name correct, he just went on the injured list as well, so a Brewers team that is in the back half of the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA, they're now a little bit more, shall we say, hampered. You do have guys like Ebner Uribe along with, as well, what you've been able to get out of Aaron Ashby. These two guys have been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. They've been pretty solid there. And Nick Beers has been solid as well, but that's a bullpen that was utilized quite a bit on Wednesday. And then Oscar Brazoben, Reed Garrett have been pretty solid for the Mets. So Garrett was not so great here on Wednesday as his ERA is ballooned north of a 3. And for this Mets lineup, you still have a quartet of guys that have been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. Absolutely love what you've been able to see out of Mr. Pete Alonso, along with, as well, Juan Soto this season. Both of these guys, 18-plus home runs, and Soto, after that miserable start to the season, he's really been able to pick it up nicely, but you take a look at when you're able to get towards the bottom of the lineup, it's guys like Brett Beatty and company that aren't necessarily giving you a ton, and for the Brewers, I just still don't know how they're doing it with regards to their offense because they don't necessarily have the most power hitting in the world. Like, I mean, Christian Yelich has been able to give you 16 home runs. Jackson Chourio is up to 13, but it's just a lot of guys that, for lack of a better term, they've been moving the line. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, if you look at their home runs per game rate, 23rd in the big leagues entering into the day on Wednesday. Now, I will say they're averaging about 1.1 home runs per game away from home. Just above 0.8 home runs per game at home. But I mean, even still, if you look at their road home run numbers, they're above league average. Like, it's not like they've been hitting just a whole bunch of bombs or anything like that. Now, they do have a quartet of guys that are able to give you 10-plus home bases. You've gotten this out of Sal Frelick, Jackson Chourio, Christian Yelich, along with, as well, Bryce Terang. But I do think that that's a little bit of an interesting ordeal as well. Do think that you see a bit of regression with his Brewers lineup, but that said, also with Jose Quintana, he's posting up about a 3.30 ERA. Fielding independence is a full point higher. He's giving up 4 walks per 9 innings, 7 strikeouts per 9, facing off against a former team in the Mets. And this goes one of two ways when you face off against your former team. Either he's going to get destroyed or he's going to throw a gem. I just take a look at these ordeals and it really doesn't go any other way. You don't see a lot of, oh, Jose Quintana face off against his old team, gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, 3 runs in 6 innings. No, it's either he got destroyed and he gave up 7 runs in 2 innings, or he pitched 7 scoreless innings. You're not going to get a lot of in between. I lean towards him getting lit up a little bit more than him having a gem, but that said, I also do think that the Brewers get to Peterson here, so I do like the over, and at a plus 135 or higher, I was willing to side with the Brewers on the money line, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and certainly we have ourselves a lot of fun that we're taking a look at in Major League Baseball, as we've got ourselves 10 games in total that are going to be going down here, but something else that is going to be going down as well as what we've got out there in the American League side of things. And in the American League side of things, you've got yourself the Kansas City Royals and the Seattle Mariners in terms of the late night game. And I do think that there's some solid value here on the Mariners, as this was one of the write-ups I did for the VSiN article that's up for Thursday. That's already up right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. You're able to get access to those because I post one up every single day in which we got games. Unfortunately, there will be a few days during the All-Star break in the next few weeks where I'm going to be able to post up any articles because we're not going to have any games, but you know what? Every time we have action, we are going to post it, and we've got some here with it being Seth Lugo on the bump for the Kansas City Royals, and Brian Wu saying woohoo to another start. 907, 908 on the card for Seattle, minus 150 to minus 157 favorites, plus 135, plus 130 is that number on Kansas City, and the total is 7. Now, it's a roll of the dice with the Kansas City Royals, as their offense is currently dead stinking last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. They're averaging 3.3 runs per game, and good grief, they can't find any sort of power whatsoever. Vinny Pascantino, Bobby Witt Jr., combined 23 home runs. Nobody else is hitting the cover off the ball. And they brought up a lot of young guys that are just not developing for them. Jake Rave, Jack Caglione, Nick Lofton. These are young guys that they're relying upon to be able to give them something. And all three are hitting below the middle sign of 200. All three have not necessarily given you a lot of power. Rough to say the least. Now, if you look at the advanced numbers of Jack Caglione, positivity should be coming for him. But man, it's not great to say the least. And for the Kansas City Royals, you know, it's also been not great. Salvador Perez is here. Sorry, but 9 home runs and less than a 285 on base is just not cutting it for this team. You've got a few guys like Drew Waters that are moving the line. Kyle Isbell is hitting about a 250 or so, but I mean, that's been rough. And then for the Seattle Mariners, big dumper Cal Raleigh, 33 home runs as far this season. He is currently on pace for an American League record for most home runs in a season. You've been able to have J.P. Crawford move the line, give you north of a 380 or so on base. You've had a lot of other guys like Ori Polanco, Ulia Rodriguez give you double-figure amount of homers. Rowdy Tilla is not hitting for any sort of average whatsoever, but you know what? He's been able to give you double-figure amount of homers, so that's been able to help out the team. And for this Kansas City Royals team, what has been a saving grace for them has been this bullpen. Top 10 team with regards to bullpen ERA, Lucas Hershey, Carlos Aceves, pair of guys that have a sub-250 ERA. Neither of them pitched on Wednesday, by the way, so both are going to be out there and ready. Even though you did use up Steven Cruz on Wednesday, he threw less than 10 pitches. Conceivably, he could be able to come back in this game. And for the Seattle Mariners, you did have to use up Matt Brash, Andres Munoz, a pair of guys with a sub-2 ERA in this game. But you still have quite a few guys that you're able to rely upon. Edward Bazzardo is able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. And for the Seattle Mariners, I do think that you're going to be able to get yourself a relatively good start here, as I like what Brian Wu has done in terms of the command. About 1.5 walks per 9 innings. It's given up a little bit north of a home run per 9, but again, you're facing off against the Kansas City Royals team that has been about as offensive as Ned Flanders as far this season, so that's honestly amazing, and I do think that for Brian Wu, he goes out there, gets the job done, while Seth Lugo, ERA has been good. 2.76 ERA thus far this season. Like, you look at the random surface numbers, he's given up 3 runs over the course of his last 4 starts. Very, very good. He's posting up, though, north of a 4 fielding a pennant. He's not a strikeout guy with about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, 1.2 home runs, 2.8 walks per 9 innings. He's very fortunate to have that sub-3 ERA. I do think that he gets had a little bit here, and I do think that the Royals eventually bust out with their offense a little bit more, because it can't get a heck of a lot worse than what it has been. But that said, do you think that Brian Wu and the Seattle Mariners get the job done? And you're able to find that run line price on the Seattle Mariners in that neighborhood about plus 140, plus 145. I think that they get to Lugo, and I do think that they get to a bullpen that they use up many pieces for. So I do like the Seattle Mariners here on the run line being able to get that nice plus number, and I'm going to be taking a look at that total over as well. Something else that I'm going to be taking a look at is this game very briefly, as we've got ourselves the White Sox and the Dodgers. This game is brief because, man, it's hard to be able to find much value when you got the Dodgers at minus 280 to minus 290 for Thursday. Total on this game is 9. As I am doing the show, you did see Clayton Kershaw on Wednesday get strikeout 3,000, but he left with the team trailing by a count of 4-2. And with the Chicago White Sox team, they throw out their Aaron Civale, who has given up 2 runs or fewer in 4 out of his last 5 starts, but still north of a 4.5 ERA for him has not necessarily been great in terms of getting swings and misses. And for Dustin May, it has been mayday, as he has been posting up north of a 4.5 ERA, about 8 strikeouts to 3 walks per 9 innings, backed up by a bullpen that has been about league average. They were able to get 6 innings out of Clayton Kershaw on Wednesday, so that's helpful. And for this White Sox team, they have a bullpen that themselves is right around about 22nd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. It's been getting a little bit better for them, but they entered into the night on Wednesday averaging about 2.9 runs per game. Andrew Benintendi, Miguel Vargas, the lone two guys on the roster with more than 9 home runs, so having to be able to get a lot there. Circumstance where I'm going to be looking at that Dodgers run line and the over, and coming up next, it's Greg's Random Football Roulette right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. Certainly, we're going to be taking a look at some more baseball as the night rolls along, but that said, we have to get you guys set for the upcoming football season, as and it's going to be here before we know it. The NFL betting guide here, VSiN, it is out. It is magnificent previews of all 32 teams. You get my projected playoff teams, all 7 from the AFC, the NFC, who I think is going to be winning the Super Bowl as well, and we're going to honor it by doing a essentially 16-part series. I had a lot of nights in a row that I was hosting, and absolutely love every moment of it coming at you guys. It is truly an honor and a privilege, so hopefully I do a good job of living up to it, and we've got ourselves a lot to take a look at in terms of the NFL. It is night number 8 of 16, which I'm calling Greg's Random Football Roulette. What I do is I go to random.org. They have probably gotten more promotion on this network than they've ever gotten before in their life. It's a website where you're able to randomize lists. I'm putting in every single team that I've yet to break down. Whichever team's at the top of the list, that's the team that we break down. I do not know who we're going to be breaking down until we actually break them down. So we've got everything all gassed up, ready to go. Let's spin the roulette wheel and play Greg's Random Football Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, let's see what we've got here. Fire it up and... ooh, when you're playing big bucks, no whammies. This is one of the biggest whammies that you're going to land on. The Cleveland Browns. Not good. Not good. If you're playing a game show right now, you're probably exiting stage left and hoping that they've got a charming, like, little buffet for you to be able to enjoy because, man, you're hoping that they give you, like, a complimentary $100 for your time. Not great, to say the least. Like, you take a look at the quarterback room for the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson's out, and when Deshaun Watson was in, that was one of the biggest disasters ever. Like, it's so bad that they're having to redo, like, parts of the CBA and what have you because it was such a bad contract. Why they paid Deshaun Watson, the world may never know. Like, I mean, it's not like he was in the world's greatest standing before they did the sign and trade, and it's put them in AG double hockey six with regards to their organization. So congratulations to the Cleveland Browns, who are right now deciphering whether to start Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, or go wacko for Flacco with Joe Flacco. When you got four quarterbacks, you've got none. And boy, do they not have none. Now, the reason why I can't side with them being the worst team in the NFL, and you're able to get plus $4 if you want to bet on that, is because I actually think that the New Orleans Saints are worse. There's one thing that the Cleveland Browns have that the New Orleans Saints don't, and I think that's the only reason why it saves them from being the worst team in football. They actually have a halfway decent defense. Like, when you've got Myles Garrett on that front seven, that is a really good deodorant to what is a big giant pot of stink that this team has. Like, Myles Garrett is great. They somehow, some way were able to keep him aboard, so yay verily there. And this is not the world's worst offensive line either. Like, the quarterback's position is rough. Like, man. Not good, to say the least, but and at the very least, you've got something there. And there's now weapons for Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, or Dylan Gabriel to utilize. Why they utilize a pick on Dylan Gabriel, by the way, I don't know. So that's where the Cleveland Browns are at right now. But you've got David Njoku, you've got Deontay Johnson, you've got Jerry Jeudy. Like, these are halfway decent, solid wide receivers. This is by far not the worst receiving room that you're going to find in the NFL. Now, am I saying that they're on point with, like, the Minnesota Vikings, for example? No, but at the very least, there are weapons for these quarterbacks to be able to utilize. They've got a halfway decent offensive line. They've got a defense that, I mean, Denzel Ward, Grant Delpit in that secondary, it's pretty solid, actually. You've been able to get some good production out of these pass rushers, not named Myles Garrett as well. So you're looking at something here with the Cleveland Browns, and that's, I guess, better than what you could say for a few other teams. Like, I was previewing the New York Giants earlier, and that's a team that's not great, to say the least. I mentioned it with the New Orleans Saints, who we have yet to get to, by the way. And it is going to be scorched earth when I get to the New Orleans Saints, by the way. That is, they're about as useful as a wet match in a dark cave. That's where they're at with regards to New Orleans Saints. But this is a very brutal schedule, and we need to decipher it right now. Right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as, man, oh man, it is going to be rough for the Cleveland Browns, but something that is very, very easy and something that is very nice for you is VSiN's betting splits. As our VSiN betting splits, they come right from the source, from Circa along DraftKings. DraftKings, it gives you a more market or broad market perspective. You're able to see where a lot of the money from the public comes from. Meanwhile, if you're taking a look at what you get at Circa, they take the biggest bets from the pros, and that means that you're seeing the bets that are really moving the lines, and you're able to see just how the market is being shaped in general. You're able to see the percentage of bets versus the handle on every single game across all major sports with our betting splits as well. And you're able to get in for your first month for as low as $9.99. over at vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we dive in on that Cleveland Browns schedule? Because here's a word that you're going to be hearing a lot here on this loss. But I do think that in terms of the Cincinnati Bengals in week number one, do I think that they're going to win this game? No, they're opening up right now at about 5.5 point underdogs. It's a winnable-ish game. Like, I mean, if you start Joe Flacco and you have yourself a good pass rush against a Bengals team that's been awful to start seasons, like the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know how it's possible, but every single year it's as if they forget how to play football in the first 3 weeks of the season. Like, if someone told the Cincinnati Bengals to just be average in the first 3 weeks of the year, they'd be making the playoffs every single year, but they always get off to that slow start, and it's for one reason or another. Like, Joe Burrow is going to probably break like a toenail or something like that, and it's going to hamper them for the first 3 weeks of the year. So, winnable-ish game against the Bengals. I don't think that they pull it off, but winnable-ish. So we'll give them that. There's going to be like a few of those games, and we'll give them one of them. At the Ravens is a loss. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I have the Green Bay Packers playing against the Ravens in the Super Bowl, and they have to then play against the Packers in week three. Albeit at home, they have to play against the Packers. Loss. On the road against the Lions. Loss. Against the Vikings, now albeit it's in London, that's a loss. On the road against the Steelers. Loss. Here starts to come the winnable-ish games, though. The Miami Dolphins at home. I think that 75% of the time they lose that game, but I mean, if you play against the Bengals at home and the Dolphins at home, I think they pull out one of them. So here we are at 1-6. I will give them one of those two games. On the road against the Patriots, I don't think they're going to be able to win that game, but again, perhaps a winnable-ish game for them. And then you hit your bye week on the road against the Jets. I think that they lose that game, but again, the Jets could be a big giant dumpster fire. I recognize that this one is at home, but against the Ravens, that's a loss. Against the Raiders, it's going to be on the road. That's going to be a little bit of a rough ordeal for them. Most likely going to be a loss. But again, between the Patriots, the Jets, and the Raiders on the road, I think that they get one of those games. So we're going to put them at 2-9 right now through 12 weeks. At home against the 49ers, I think that that's a loss. Here's your winnable game. At home against the Titans. I do recognize that the Titans are going to get a little bit better as the season goes along. I think that they actually win that game. So that puts them at 3 wins. That already puts them pretty much on par with the New Orleans Saints. And then they would need to win one out of these next 4 games to be able to just probably be avoiding the worst record in all of football. On the road against the Bears, not going to be happening. At home against the Bills, I recognize it's at home, but against the Bills, loss. At home against the Steelers might be winnable. Like, I recognize that Mike Tomlin has this just tremendous track record of never having a losing season. I could see the Aaron Rodgers saga being a dumpster fire and a half. Because, I mean, I recognize that Mike Tomlin did a great job with Antonio Brown. Aaron Rodgers is a head case of all head cases, and you just don't know what's going to be happening. I mean, it is the circus with 5 rings with that circus coming to town. I could see things being disastrous at the end of the season. I think that they get to 4 wins here, and then on the road against the Bengals, probably going to be a loss. So we've got them at 4 wins. Right now, their win total is a 4.5, but you get the under juice at plus 135. I actually think that you've got good value here on the under because, man, I don't think that it's going to be a great year for the Browns. And again, if the Browns were in another division, say that you put them in the NFC South, for example, are they going to be a above 500 team? No, they're not going to be an above 500 team, but they'd be a little bit more respectable than they are right now because I look at this division and they aren't winning any games against the Ravens. They aren't winning, really. They might be able to win that first game against the Bengals just because of the matter of circumstance, but I think that they maybe win 2 games in this division, but at the very least, I think that there's something for this team. The defense is respectable, and I see them actually covering quite a few spreads. Like, I think that this is going to be that classic team that they go out there, lose a bunch of games by like 5 to 7 points because they just have absolutely no stinking offense whatsoever because the quarterback situation is essentially burnt toast. So with the Browns, going to be a rough year for them. I think that they avoid having the worst record in the NFL. Congratulations to the New Orleans Saints, who I think are going to be getting that moniker. Rough start to the season for them. Under 4.5 wins, plus money. I like that. What else I like is being able to find some plus money on the baseball card, and we'll do so next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. I think we found some plus money on fading the Cleveland Browns for the upcoming football season. And if you enjoyed that rambunctious breakdown of the Cleveland Browns, we've got another one coming up in 45 minutes. Not of the Cleveland Browns, but another NFL team. And it's all said and done at the end of this 16-night run. I will have broken down all 32 NFL teams. So Greg's random football roulette is getting gassed up once again in 45 minutes. What's getting gassed up right now is some great baseball action, as we do have ourselves a lot of fun that is going to be happening on this Thursday, Major League Baseball. I was mentioning it before the break. Have to try to find you guys a little bit of plus money, and I think we might be able to do so with this pesky underdog. 9-13, 9-14 on the card. It is the Detroit Tigers. They are going to be on the road. I can see Washington Nationals. Jake Irvin is on the bump for the Nats, and you've got Mr. Diedrich Enz, who's on the bump for Detroit. Detroit is a pretty sizable favorite. They're between about minus 155 to minus 165, and that neighbor of plus 135 to plus 145 is your number on Washington. 9.5 is the total, shaded down to the under, and pretty much anything of a plus 140 or higher, I was willing to take a shot on the Nationals on the money line. This is just me not necessarily being a believer in Enz, as he actually comes on over from KBO. I believe that he was with LG last season, and he was solid in the KBO. If you look at his minor league numbers, he was posting up north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's at a little bit of an advanced age of 34 years old. Was never really able to find it in his first few stops at the big league level, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to provide you a lot of bang for your buck if you're the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers did have to utilize quite a bit of their bullpen in the games on Wednesday, as there was a double dip that went down. So that means that a lot of these guys like Tommy Kahnle, Brandt Herter, they got utilized for quite a few innings, and Tommy Kahnle got lit up like a Christmas tree. And this is a Tigers bullpen that we all remember bullpen madness from them last season and how tremendous it was. This bullpen has actually not been the same this far this season. Now, I do believe that they're better than what their raw ERA would indicate, but Tigers are now 16th at the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. So these guys like Chase Lee, I mentioned Tommy Kahnle a little bit before, Will Vest, these guys have all been able to give you a sub-325 ERA, but has been creeping northward a little bit. And for the Washington Nationals, this team is just absolutely horrible with their bullpen. Like, man. This bunch is right now dead last in the big leagues with a 5.83 ERA. You've got Brad Lord, Kyle Finnegan, and Andrew Chafin be the lone three guys that are giving you a sub-4 ERA. Some of these guys like an Eduardo Salazar, Jackson Rutledge, man, you're not really getting a ton there. And I'm going to call it what it is. Jake Irvin, not the Mota Lisa Vito of pitching. He himself is posting up north of 4 ERA. He has been able to do an okay job of being able to keep things out in front of him with the walks. Only about 2.7 walks per 9 innings, but does give up right around about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. Going against a Tigers lineup that does rank in the top 7 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. You've had a trio of different guys, Kerry Carpenter, Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, all be able to give you at least 16 home runs this season. Green has been able to hit north of 290, so he's been able to do a nice job in terms of moving the line, finding a way to be able to get on base, and then you've got these other guys that are nice contributors that they find a way to be able to get on to make sure that these are not solo shots. Like Javi Baez, Gleyber Torres have both been able to get north of a 275. You've been able to get good production from Wencio Perez ever since he's come off the injury list. He's been able to give you a home run every about 16 to 17 or so at bats, and he's been able to hit north of a 275 as well. And for the Washington Nationals, very interesting home and road split going into the double dip that we saw on Wednesday, averaging about 3.8 runs per game at home. Away from home, they're averaging darn near a run better. So this has been one of those teams that has had the funky bunch home and road splits now for Washington. I wouldn't necessarily consider it a hitter's ballpark, not necessarily a pitcher's ballpark, but still something that I do think it's going to be ironing out when it's all said and done, as you do have James Wood giving you a really good Wood. He's been able to give you 22 home runs thus far this season, but the power numbers have just been very much down for the team in Washington this season. Now, perhaps a little bit of it was like the weather towards the early part of the season, something like that, but I do think that for Washington, you're going to be able to get a little bit more moving forward out of C.J. Abrams, who's been really good on the road, a little bit inconsistent at home, but he overall has been able to give you a double-figure amount of bombs. He's been giving you above a 270 with regards to his batting average. Not a ton of guys moving the line other than someone like an Alex Cull who doesn't play every day, so there's been a bit of issue and strife there. That said, I do think that for Washington, you're just getting a little bit too much plus that value against a guy in Enz that I'm not necessarily too much of a believer in. This is going to be one of those getaway games. So you might be seeing some interesting lineups, to say the least, with there being a double dip that happened on Wednesday. So semi total at 9.3, here at the 9.5. I like the under. I do like the Washington Nationals on the money line. What I like even more, though, is the fact that you've got an all-in special here at Circa. And my goodness, this is a special. If you're looking for a two-night stay, you're able to get it for $400. And this gives you not just that two-night stay, because they also include in there the tax and the resort fees. And trust me, out here in lovely Las Vegas, they get you with those resort fees. But you get this all-in special with a $100 dining credit and a $100 beverage credit. So there's $200 covered right there out of your $400 all-in price, of which the taxes and everything else is included. But you also get your own day bed at Stadium Swim. This is rolling through all summer long through September 4th, so you want to dive in on this. Heck, I live out here in lovely Las Vegas / Henderson area, and I might dive in on this. It's a heck of a deal. CircaLasVegas.com to be able to get your all-in special for a two-night stay with all the bells and whistles that I just mentioned. CircaLasVegas.com, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And hopefully we get some bells and whistles with this game, as it is on between the San Francisco Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks for this Thursday. As if you looked at the game that we did see on Wednesday, by the way, the Giants, it's been rough for them. They finally got the job done in a game, but now they look to make it two in a row in a rather pick'em game, as Robbie Ray says hip-hip array to another start for the San Francisco Giants. And it's Brandon Pfaadt who goes for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Giants are about minus 105 to minus 112 favorites for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That neighbored about minus 104 to minus 110. So, again, rather pick 'em game. Most places have this total at an 8.5. Seeing one or two straight eights out there, but I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over. With this total, I set mine at an 8.8. Robbie Ray has been much better this year than he has been in past years, but he still has a propensity to give up north of 3.5 walks for 9 innings. What I've been really impressed with Robbie Ray is the way that he's been able to keep the ball in the yard. In past years, he has given up right around about 1.4, 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. He's cut that darn near in half. Now, it has been at the detriment of a little bit of swing and miss. Right now, he's getting only about 10.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. For his career, more around about 11, but him being able to keep the ball in the yard has made a much more effective pitcher. 2.75 ERA, feeling dependent, hovering more around about a 3.33. But on the flip side, you've got a guy in Pfaadt who, he's been better recently. 2 runs or fewer allowed in 4 out of his last 5 starts, but he still had that start where he had no outs and he gave up 8 runs. He has been giving up the deep ball quite a bit this year, north of 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. Does a good job in terms of command, less than 2.3 walks per 9 innings, but isn't necessarily getting a lot of whiffs either. Going against a Giants lineup that, it's been rough for them. Ever since Rafael Devers came into the fold, it's actually been to the detriment of this team. So I'm very curious to see if he's going to be able to find his footing. You figured that the numbers were going to be a little bit down from what they were when he was with the Boston Red Sox, but still expected a little bit more there. You've had Jungle Lee really start to regress. He's hitting below a 255 for this unit, but you've been able to get some good production out of someone like a Mikey Stremski, and you need it, because for Matt Chapman, being him being on the injured list, that's been a bit of an issue. And then his understudy in Casey Schmidt, he's now on the injured list as well. So that's left a big giant hole in the infield for this team. So they're looking to mix and match there. Aloy Ramos has been able to do a solid job being able to put back to ball. He's been able to give you a double figure amount of homers. He's hitting for north of a 350 on base. Thurio Estrada has been hitting about a 245, and do have a lot of guys that are in that neighborhood about a 240 to a 250. So we'll see if these guys are able to rise up a little bit more. But what else you have with the San Francisco Giants? The number one bullpen in terms of ERA. You have the likes of Eric Miller, Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall, Randy Rodriguez, all give you a sub-3 ERA. Spencer Bivens is able to be a relatively good long guy. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, that's where this team goes wrong. They're in the bottom five of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. This team has blown game after game after game this year. You got Jalen Beeks and Shelby Miller giving you a sub-4 ERA. That's about it. Justin Martinez, the former San Francisco Giant, and Anthony DeSclafani, Taylor Scott. These guys are just not cutting it for this bullpen right now. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, that's absolutely killing them. They had the AJ Puck injury earlier in the season. That was not necessarily so great. And They're looking to mix and match there. Now, what the Diamondbacks do provide is a lineup that is in the top four in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Corbin Carroll being down with an injury has not really slowed down the team. They just have guys that go out there. Even with Gabriel Moreno also dealing with an injury, you still have Eugenio Suarez, who's been able to give you 26-plus home runs this season. Ketel Marte has been having a Marte. He's giving a home run every about 12 or so at-bats, 400 on base. He's been great. Randall Grichuk is starting to step up for the team. You've got these guys that you're able to mix and match with, like Alec Thomas, whenever he's out there, as he's dealt with some injury as well. These guys have all been able to get the job done at the plate. The bullpen pitching, not necessarily getting the job done, though, so I do think that this is going to be a rather high-scoring affair out there in the lovely state of Arizona. Did set my total at 8.8. I like the over, and I feel like the Giants are going to start to find something. I feel like this losing streak that they had, it was a little bit of a flash in the pan, and I do think that they're going to find their bearings. Set them at a minus 112, so I do like the Giants to go along with that over, and coming up next, what else I love is that the game of basketball is a gift that keeps on giving. Saw a lot of news on Wednesday. We'll round that up next right here on Cashing Out. I'm Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.